So we are in the last part of Genesis chapter 21. And I think that Abraham has taken a step of maturity in his walk with the Lord as I look at these verses of Scripture. Abraham is walking by faith. He's living his life before the Lord and before others. He's being faithful. And he's been through a lot as we've gone through chapters 18 now through 21. But back in chapter 18, God told Abraham that he was going to finally have the son that he had been praying for to have with his wife Sarah. And God had told both Abraham and Sarah that this time next year, according to chapter 18, that they were going to have that son of promise. And this is huge because they're at a stage of life where this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And it's something that God did supernaturally through this elderly couple. And then we read in chapters 18 and 19 where Abraham was an intercessor because God had told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham didn't want to see that happen. And he got God to say, well, God, if there are 10, got him down to 10 righteous people, or if there are 10 righteous people in these cities, will you spare these cities? And God, in his love and his mercy, said, if there are 10 righteous people, I will spare them all. But there weren't 10 righteous people. And when Abraham got up the next morning, Abraham saw what God did. He annihilated those cities who were full of wickedness, who never did repent. And then in chapter 20, after that's taken place, Abraham wanders down to Hebron, or not Hebron, but the area south of Israel, the Promised Land, comes across a king. His name is King Abimelech. That's probably his title, not his name. And Abraham displays a lack of faith. He's afraid that he's going to be killed because of his wife Sarah. Here she is, 89 years old, and she is still a knockout. And Abraham is afraid that if they learn that she is his husband, they're going to have him killed. And so he lies and says, Sarah is his sister. And Abimelech gets word of this and takes Sarah into his household. God, through that situation, supernaturally protects Sarah, keeps Abimelech from having a relationship with Sarah. And Abimelech learns that Abraham has lied. And goes to Abraham and says, why have you lied to me? He confronts the man of faith. And here is this pagan king who doesn't have a relationship with God, showing more fear of God than our father of faith, Abraham. And yet God, by his grace and his mercy, still uses Abraham. God calls Abraham his prophet and tells Abimelech, Abimelech, you go to my prophet Abraham and ask him to pray over you. And when Abraham prays over Abimelech, God answers Abraham's prayer and opens the wombs of the women in Abimelech's territory that he had closed. And we just see an incredible work of God through Abraham's life in spite of his shortcomings, in spite of his failings. And then we come to chapter 21, and we see the birth of Isaac. God did what God said he would do. And as a result of that, there was more problems in the household. Ishmael, who is around 14 years old at this time, begins to mock. Another interpretation of mock is persecute his younger brother Isaac. Sarah sees this and knows that Ishmael cannot continue to live under their roof, and tells Abraham to cast Hagar and Ishmael out. This disturbs Abraham. Abraham loves Ishmael. And this just breaks his heart. He disagrees with his wife. But God comes to Abraham in a dream and says, Abraham, listen to your wife. The boy needs to be cast out. And Abraham obeyed. And so as difficult as that was, that's where we ended last Sunday. And now here we are in verse 22 through the end of the chapter. And we don't know how long it has been since Abraham has cast out Ishmael. But it's been some time. And this is what the Bible says. In verse 22, and I'll read through verse 24. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. Abraham is living in Melchizedek's land. He is a sojourner. Melchizedek has given Abraham permission to live there all this time. And as Abraham has been living there, the Bible says Abimelech has been watching. He comes to Abraham and he tells Abraham, Abraham, I know God is with you. God has been blessing Abraham's life. Abraham has a good reputation. Abraham is a nomad, okay? He's been living in a tent ever since he's come into the land that God has told him to go into. But he doesn't have a house made with a foundation, living on a solid foundation, a house with concrete. No, he's been living in tents, and he's been trusting God the whole time as he's been living in this tent. And God has been blessing Abraham. And we see from this text that there's nothing braggadocious about Abraham. I mean, he knows it's all the grace of God. And here in verse 22, Abimelech approaches Abraham again. Okay, we saw this in Genesis chapter 20, but now Abimelech has come back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Knowing that Abraham's been faithful, that God continues to bless Abraham, and so Abimelech wants to make a treaty with Abraham. Abimelech is thinking in his mind, you know, this would be a good thing to do, because not only will secure my future, but it will, but I want it to secure the descendants of those who come behind me. And so Abimelech wants to make a treaty of peace now and for the future, because he sees that God is using Abraham, that God has blessed Abraham. And he believes that if he makes a treaty with Abraham, that God will bless Abimelech as well. So this is what Abimelech wants. That's not where Abraham's at. Abraham isn't thinking about treaties and peace agreements with those around him. God's been blessing his life. God has been protecting him. And here Abraham is just trusting the Lord. He's just being a man of peace. He doesn't have any issues with neighbors around him. But this is the desire of Abimelech's heart. And so Abimelech says something very interesting in verse 23. Abimelech says, "Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned." Why did Abimelech say that? Because he knows the history there. He knew, he remembers what Abraham had done to him back in chapter 20. Even though he's a man of faith, he also witnessed this man's deceit. And he's reminded Abraham of that. And he wants Abraham to deal with him honestly. So here it's not really a conflict in this passage of Scripture, but Abimelech has confronted Abraham once again. And I want you to see the characteristic of Abraham as he handles this conflict and things that we can learn from this. Abraham chooses to be humble and non-defensive. You know, he doesn't question Abimelech's statement. Abraham knows what he did. He can't justify that. But with a spirit of humility and non-defensiveness, in verse 24, Abraham tells Abimelech, "I will swear. I will be honest with you. I will deal kindly with you. You can trust me, Abimelech." Abraham is growing. Abraham is maturing. Abraham is living off the land. God is blessing his life. God has been faithful in Abraham's life. And so Abraham's at a point where he doesn't have to justify himself, or he doesn't have to protect himself anymore. He knows that God is watching over him. He has watched God do the impossible. He has watched God be faithful with his word. Whatever God says he will do, he will do it. And Abraham believes that now. He's at peace with God. My friend, that's where God wants you and I to be. If we're going to be successful in order to work out difficult relationships, we need to understand that God is sovereign. and that He's behind every issue that we face. And we may not like the conflict and what we're going through, but God's going to use it in their life and in your life. And what He wants you and I to do is trust Him. Abraham is non-defensive. He can't justify himself. And he tells Abimelech, I will swear to you over this treaty. I want you to see two more characteristics about Abraham. He's also peaceable and agreeable. He tells Abimelech, I will swear. He sees this as a good thing, not only for Abimelech's descendants, but for Abraham's descendants as well. Abraham is thinking of his future as well, and it would be a benefit to everyone for all to be able to live in peace. Now, handling conflict well doesn't mean we choose to be peaceable and agreeable at any cost. Abraham isn't compromising anything at this point. Okay? He's not caving in on his convictions. He's not caving in on his on who God is. Abraham sees this as a benefit for everyone. And we need to remember that as well. We live in a day and age, church, where the world wants us to be at peace with them. And to just be people of silence and just compromise, just go along with the system. Don't rock the boat. Don't say anything. The church, if it's compromising our faith, if it's putting innocent lives at risk, if it's causing us to question or go against God's word, church, we have a responsibility to stand for what is right and not compromise the truth and to deal with the conflict. Not to be ugly about it, but to get to the truth, to defend the truth, to speak the truth in love. God wants us to be salt and light, and if we just compromise on everything, if we cave on what the world wants us to do, guess what? We've lost our saltiness. Jesus says, you're worthless. Your salt is to be thrown out and be trampled on by men. We need to be people, God's people, of the truth and of the light. And so Abraham wants to be at peace. And this peace, this treaty, is a good thing. Abraham isn't having to compromise a thing. But Abraham also, I want you to see in verse 25, is diplomatic and truthful. Yeah, he says, yes, I will swear to this treaty, Abimelech. But Abraham says this in verse 25, and let's read verses 25 through 26. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. Abraham is bringing up a justice issue. A crime has been committed against Abraham. Abraham dug a well. Wells are important. especially in the water. Water is vital. We all understand how important water is. And if you don't have water, you don't have a livelihood. You don't have an existence. You need water. And Abraham dug this well. And this well was very important to what Abraham was doing in this territory. And what happened? Abimelech's men came and stole this well. Now, I'm not sure when that occurred, but I want you to see how Abraham has been trusting the Lord. Abraham is a very powerful man. I mean, he has an army that took out 5 different kings simultaneously. I mean, he is a warlord. He's a powerful man, a very influential man. And here this injustice has occurred with Abraham. And Abraham could have taken it upon himself to have grabbed it right back. But he hasn't. And he's waiting on the Lord. And here Abimelech comes with his commander, Phicol, and chooses to make a treaty with Abimelech and Phicol. And after agreeing to that treaty, Abraham says, "Now, I've got an issue I need to bring up, though. Before we make a covenant together, this is what your men have done." And he's being diplomatic about it. He's not being ugly, but he's telling Abimelech, "They stole this from me. I dug this well." And he's being truthful about it. And folks, when we're dealing with conflict, we need to be diplomatic. We need to remove our emotion from it and just talk about the facts. Deal with the facts and deal with the truth of the matter. And trust God in the situation. And that's what Abraham is doing with Abimelech. So Abraham wants peace, but not peace at any cost. He brings up this issue of justice that can't be swept under the carpet. Abimelech needs to do something about it. And so there's a message for you and I today as well. We just can't sweep sin under the carpet. We just can't turn a blind eye, pretend it doesn't exist. We need to deal with it. And church, this is what's happening in our convention today. There are some pastors who are very concerned about the drift that is occurring culturally in our convention. And they are pointing these matters out. And there are religious leaders in our convention that would prefer to have peace at any cost and sweep it under the carpet. And praise God, there are some pastors who are shining light on the discrepancies. And there are decisions that are going to be made in just a little over a week in our convention. And I want to just encourage you to be praying for our convention, that there would be some men who would choose to be honest and forthcoming and repent, and that we as a convention would truly find reconciliation amongst ourselves and not play this game of wanting to be liked by the world and doing whatever it takes for the world to accept us. No, God wants us to live biblically. And when we live biblically, God is going to bless those decisions. Abraham wants to do the right thing. And so he brings these things, these matters, up to Abimelech. And Abimelech says, no one told me. I didn't know about these things. And look what Abraham chooses to do. Abraham chooses to show charity. He chooses to believe Abimelech's story. Abraham doesn't know if Abimelech is truly telling the truth. Abimelech could have known that this well had been stolen, but Abraham chooses to believe Abimelech. And as he believes Abimelech, verse 27, the Bible says, and Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock apart, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart? And Abraham said, these 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. And so verse 27, Abraham says, gives Abimelech oxen and sheep for a sacrifice. Now, they're going to cut a covenant. Abraham is sworn to this oath and to secure this oath requires a covenant. And so they take the oxen, they take the sheep, and they cut these animals in half. And they lay one half on one side of a line, and the other part of the sacrifice, half the sacrifice, on the other side. We've seen this in Genesis chapter 15 when God made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to be the father of a great nation. This is what people do when they make a covenant with each other. They sacrifice animals, they lay them on both sides of a line, and then the two parties walk down the middle of the sacrifice, telling each other that if either one of them break the covenant that they are making with each other, may the same thing happen to them that has happened to these sacrifices. May they suffer the same consequences. And so that's what Abraham and Abimelech do. They cut a covenant. And then in verse 28 and 29, Abraham does something unique. He shows generosity to Abimelech. Not only do they cut this, Abraham gives Abimelech 7 ewe lambs. Why did Abraham do that? Because Abraham wanted Abimelech to remember the covenant that he's made, that Abraham has been honest with Abimelech. And every time Abraham looks at those, Abimelech looks at those ewe lambs, he will be reminded of the fact that Abraham has been generous, that Abraham has been honest with Abimelech. And Abimelech receives those ewe lambs. As Abimelech is receiving those ewe lambs, he's telling Abraham, I believe you. Abraham, I trust you. We are in agreement with one another. We have a treaty of peace. Abraham has shown charity to Abimelech. Abraham has shown generosity to Abimelech. And then in verse 31, they call the place Beersheba because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Beersheba means well of the oath or well of the seven. And this is to remind the two of them of the covenant that they have made with each other. Abimelech is also going to make a covenant with Isaac a few chapters from now, very similar ways that we'll be looking at later. But here we see Abraham and Isaac, or Abraham and Abimelech making a treaty of peace with each other. And I just want to remind you of the characteristics of Abraham's life. First, he's made peace with God. He's at peace with God. He made peace with God in Genesis chapter 15 when he believed the promises. The promise that God was going to make him a great nation. But Abraham is now grown in his faith. He has watched God do far more since then. He's given Abraham and Sarah a child. And Abraham can believe God in whatever God might tell Abraham to do. That's going to be tested in the next chapter. But this is where Abraham is at in chapter 21. He's at peace. He's trusting the Lord. He's living at peace with others. It's not about him first, but in being a good neighbor. We see him being diplomatic, truthful, charitable, and generous. Those are good words when you find yourself in the midst of a conflict. Are you there? Have you been there? Have you modeled Christ before the person or the individuals that you've been having difficulty with? God wants us to grow us. God wants to grow us in these areas of our lives. We can't display these characteristics, church, in the flesh. We can't do it ourselves. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's taken Abraham a long time to get here. He's well over 100 years old, and we have seen the struggles of Abraham's life. But Abraham is now mature in his faith. And so, here we see in verse 32, Abimelech and Phicol, they're both leaving that that conversation, that land where Abraham is living. And as they are walking away, I believe God, Abraham is reminiscing about the blessings of God in his life. You know what? Abraham's sitting pretty right now. Life is pretty good. Abraham didn't do anything to organize this conversation with Abimelech. Abraham had been struggling with how he was going to get his well back. And he didn't do it in his own ability. I believe he was praying to God, saying, God, how can you work out this situation? How can you help me work out this situation? And guess who comes along? Abimelech and Phicol. And God has a plan. And Abraham is thinking to himself, God, you've done it again. And this is what Abraham does in verse 33. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abimelech and Phicol are going back home. Abraham is thinking, God, you have worked this all out. This is all about you again. And Abraham plants a tamarisk tree. Now, we live in the desert. We're familiar with tamarisk trees, aren't we? I mean, they're pretty scruffy trees. They're not very pretty. I mean, if I were Abraham, I would have planted a Palo Verde. You know, that's a little prettier, but Abraham plants a tamarisk tree. You know what tamarisk tree is? It's an evergreen. It stays green all year round. And Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. He plants this tree and he says, God, you are El Elam. God everlasting. Which means, God, you have always done this. That's our God. He is always at work. He is always doing this. And where God wants to bring us to, the point is that whatever circumstances we're going through, He is El Elan. He is God everlasting. He is God who's always doing this. We just recognized two girls who graduated from high school who have had huge challenges in their life. They have parents who love them, who have been with them by their side, being their biggest cheerleader and fighting for them every step of the way. And they were able to graduate last week. A huge accomplishment. God has been their El Elan. God everlasting, who is always doing this. That was a God thing. This was a God thing this morning. And I hope you see that. Abraham is looking at his life. The totality of his life up to this point. And he plants a tree to remind himself. An altar to worship who God is. He is God everlasting. Our God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People change. Time changes. Societies change. Churches change. Denominations change. God never changes. And He is always doing this. He is God everlasting. And my friend, you can trust Him. That's the place. That's the place God wants to bring all of us to. Stop trying to help God out. Stop trying to worry about things, about how things are going to play out. Live at peace with God. Model the mind of Christ in the midst of conflict, knowing God is going to work this out in His way and at His time. So my question to you, do you know this God? To be honest with you, I'm not there yet. I do a lot of worrying. I do a lot of stressing. I do that because I've taken my eyes off the everlasting God. He wants us, my friends, to be in a life of dependence upon Him, walking by faith. To be at a point that whatever God tells us to do, we know God is serious. God wants us to do it. And God is going to bless that obedience. And we'll get to that next week. My friend, know God as El Elyon, God everlasting. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. And God, we live in precarious days. None of us could have imagined 5 years ago what we're going through today in this world. But even though everything is changing around us, God, You never change. You have a plan. You have a purpose. And You want us to be people who trust You, who speak the truth in love, who want to be at peace with those around us, but not be at peace at any cost. So Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to be diplomatic. Help us to be truthful. To show charity where we can. To be generous in all of our dealings. And to believe You for what You're wanting to accomplish. To resolve those conflicts. And may we see Your fingerprints in all of it. And may we shout from the tip of our toes, God, You are everlasting. You are El Elyon. And You are always at work among us. We love You and we praise You. Give You this time of worship as we sing, Great is Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me?